keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
This is Super League. It's a different game. A proper game. And proper fans. It tests you. Challenges you. It excites you. It pushes you. It's over on the back of the neck stuff. It's spine-chilling. Goosebumps. It's an explosion of testosterone and nerves. And at the end of them 80 minutes, you'll be a quivering wreck. Soaked to the skin in your own perspiration. Well, that's how I see it anyway. Super League. It's in a different league.
Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the Final Hooter.
We're back, baby. 2017 Rugby League back on the agenda on loverugbyleague.com. The first Final Hooter of the season. And you know what, Parky?
Go on.
You can't help just have a perfect fanfare to get us in the mood.
Well, it was.
And a bit of Johnny Vegas as well.
It was a fanfare, that's for sure. Brilliant. I don't know about perfect.
It was brilliant.
Listen, they did the best.
It's ring rusty, that's what it is. It's the start of the season. They'll get better as the season goes on.
I hope that's what people think about us as well, because we'll be a bit rusty, won't we, in this particular
podcast.
I'm sure
the players will be as well.
Definitely. I think we've already seen that, haven't we, amongst the friendlies that have been taking part up and down the country for the last 4 or 5 weeks.
We certainly have, but the Championship already up and running.
Definitely, yeah. Really interesting first week. We'll go through those results right now. So, Toulouse won their first game, 44 points to 6,
wow,
at home to Batley. Hull Kingston Rovers, they battered Bradford by 54 points to 24. For me, the shock result of the entire first round was Rochdale Hornets winning 46 points to 0 against Dewsbury.
Dewsbury could be in for a bad season, or was it just a bad start for the Rams?
Oh, well, I think they're down on the numbers at the moment. They've had a hell of a pre-season with regards to injuries coming into effect and things like that. Then the game that I was at, interestingly enough, Adrian, was between Swinton and London Broncos. What a fantastic start to the season. And it finished with a 26-23 result for London Broncos. And we are going to hear now from Broncos coach Andrew Henderson. Well, Andrew, 26 points to 23 here at Swinton. A bit too close for comfort?
Oh, it's close for comfort, but, you know, in these early games, you know, you're not going to be hitting your full straps at this stage, you know, and you know, to come away with a win away from home, we'll take that, mate. So I'm pleased that we got the result. Disappointed to concede 23 points, you know. I think there's we've got to do a little bit of work on our try line D at the moment. We're conceding some soft tries at present, so we need to fix that up and fix it up pretty quickly. But I was pleased with the second half from the boys. I thought we started slow. I thought the first 20 minutes, I thought Swinton had far more energy about them, more intent. I thought they won the ground, yeah, both defensively and offensively, and yeah, we were a little bit slow coming out the traps. I thought once we got ourselves into the game, you know, as you saw, I thought we made a number of clean breaks. You know, we created so many opportunities today, but we just couldn't seem to score. You know, I think we must have made about 6 clean line breaks. We just got hauled down. Credit to the Swinton scramble defence. We got hauled down like a metre from the line, and then we'd either come up with an error the next play, or something would go against us. You know, I think we got held up God knows how many times in that second half, you know, across the line, or even when we're over line catching a kick, we just couldn't keep hold of it. We just seemed to knock on over the line. So the amount of times we actually, I thought, caused them a lot of problems and got over there, we just couldn't get a stranglehold of the game, if you know what I mean. We just couldn't take grip of the game, and Swinton just wouldn't go away. They were just a real nuisance. They just kept staying there, and they, you know, they got themselves back ahead again. And but what I was pleased in the second half from us was we never panicked. We stayed very composed. We were disciplined to just keep going through the plan, the process. I thought we won the field position battle massively second half. I thought Swinton really struggled to get out their own half. That was a credit to our defence. You know, I felt they really struggled to get past the halfway, and I thought we were making easy metres in that second half going forward. I think we had a lot more intent and energy about us. We just we just weren't clinical enough. We just couldn't get that ball over the line for whatever reason. We created so many opportunities, but it just wasn't meant to be. And like I said, Swinton just refused to give in. They hung in there and they kept coming and asking questions, and they'll probably feel a little bit hard done to today. They probably felt they deserved something out of the game, but I think overall we probably did just deserve it in the end. I just think that second half probably proved that, really.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Andrew Henderson, obviously happy with the great start, but Swinton just wouldn't throw the white towel in, would they?
Oh, I'll tell you what, it was an awesome game to watch for a first game of the season. I know there's a lot of scrappy play that tends to go into the first couple of rounds, but
yes,
I tell you what, there was some great stuff played by Swinton, particularly in the first 20 minutes. They actually went 10-0 up and really shot the Broncos early on with some wide play out on the right-hand side. And they've got a lad called Forsyth, who's on dual contract from Wigan, who really caused the Broncos some headaches in defence. But nice to see Jared Sammer has popped back up on the Rugby League ladder. He's there at London Broncos, and it was probably his guiding hand and the effort in the pack from Eddie Batty which guided the Broncos home.
So a good start for the Broncos, but Bradford Bulls, they've been the club that everyone's been talking about. Hookyah, looks like for me, Parky, they're going to go throughout the season unbeaten. I know that's a bold statement to be making, but they will do.
It's a bold statement. What's your name, Derek Beaumont?
But, Bradford Bulls.
Yeah, they did take
what can you say?
They did take a little bit of a beating, to be honest. I mentioned that one before, 54 points to 24. At half-time, it was Hull Kingston Rovers 30, Bradford 12. So there was a bit of a fight back in the second half from the Bulls, but unfortunately, it wasn't to be. Two other results that I didn't mention from the Championship, Halifax 26, Featherstone 32, which apparently was another really high-quality game. And Oldham, who struggled for a lot of last season, they beat a rejuvenated Sheffield by 26 points to 10.
Eagles, another club that have been struggling off the field in the off-season as well, haven't they?
Yeah, we'll hear a little bit more about them next week.
We will, yes. We're going to do a Championship special next week.
Really looking forward to that.
So am I.
We was right round speaking to all the important people, weren't we, at the Championship launch last week. Coming up, we've got the Super League launch and plenty to hear from that, haven't we?
We will do when I find the audio.
That's okay. Where have you put it?
I don't know. Listen, when it comes to computers and me, we don't go hand in hand. Go on, you click the buttons, quick. Right, we're there. It is the final hooter on lovelybilly.com. We did suggest we're going to be a bit ring rusty. It's the start of the season. We're back. We're live on Radio General, but it is on lovelybilly.com as well. We've got a long list of Super League players and coaches that we're going to be hearing from over the next 45 minutes or so. We've got Sean O'Loughlin, Tony Smith, Neil Jukes, Scott Griggs, Brian McDermott, Richie Myler, Rick Stone, Hep Cahill, Richard Horn, Ian Watson. We do make apologies to Castleford fans, by the way, because Darryl Powell and Luke Gale are so popular, we just couldn't pin them down, could we?
No, we couldn't. I actually had my name down on Luke Gale's list. Every time I turned round at the launch, there was about four people waiting to interview him. And then when eventually he was free, unfortunately it seemed like he got dragged from pillar to post for photographs and then for TV interviews, so I just couldn't get hold of him at all. And it was a similar story with Darryl, wasn't it, as well?
It was, yes. So anyway, last week we made our way to the Super League's newest venue, the Leeds Sports Village, and we'll start off with the Champions, shall we? Let's hear from Sean O'Loughlin. Sean O'Loughlin, the start of every season, there's always pressure on Wigan no matter what, but as the champions, pressure's immense this year.
Yeah, I think so. As you say, you always want to win stuff, and I think the Speckies expect us to win stuff. But yeah, the success at the end of the season last year, and getting our hands on the trophy was massive. And yeah, I think that kind of is great for the players to go there and emulate it again. But also, kind of fans want it again and again.
Yeah, without a doubt. Do you guys feel that pressure when you're out there or anything?
No, I don't. I think we put our own pressures on what we need to achieve. And yeah, I think that adds to it, knowing the fans want it and as much as we do. But yeah, it's good pressure. It's good pressure, mate. Kind of, it's there at the back of your mind during pre-season. It's there at the back of your mind when you're running up hills and in the gym, and knowing all that is about the season and about getting in a good position to hopefully be a part of a grand final again.
You mentioned you being in the gym. How's the pre-season been?
Yeah, it's good. It's been gone really well for me this year. Obviously, not being involved with England's probably meant I've had a bit of a longer time in there, but just good to get some quality in there as well, and hopefully that'll serve me well for the season.
A few new signings as well, they've fitted in okay.
Yeah, we've Tommy and Budge obviously been here before and settled in really well. French contingency coming over there, probably a little bit more difficult then with the language side of things, but again they both come in and work hard and seem like they settled in well, so it's good to have them on board as well.
French signings at Wigan, I wonder how they're finding the Wigan accent.
Hey, I find the Wigan accent difficult and I only live 5 minutes down the road, so I don't know how those French lads are going to be going on, Navarrete and Nescari.
You mentioned Budge, and I was quite a funny question I put to him. I was asking him about Joe Burgess.
Oh right, okay.
I said Tom Burgess. I wonder how many times that happens.
I don't know, it's probably just the first time that he's heard that one, yeah. with it being yourself interviewing, not I think, mate.
Sean O'Loughlin for me, he's the player that inspires Wigan to greater things. He's like a bit like Paul Scunthorpe when Saints were the king of Super League.
He's definitely a go-to man. I think that he's pretty injury hit these
days.
That's
why I compare him to Scunthorpe, because he was like that, but as soon as he was out on the field, the Saints were a different team.
Yeah, and you know, there's no doubt in his leadership skills, but I've got to be honest, I don't know whether he's the highest rating Super League player of my time. I'd sooner see other types of players, but he's had a great career with Wigan, and let's hope that he manages to get through this particular season unscathed.
Will Wigan win it though?
It's a tough one. I mean, I've only seen them once in pre-season. They've lost two of the three games that they played. Having said that, they've only played the top side on one occasion, and that was in Catalans, and they won that one. So they'll be there or thereabouts, won't they? That's what usually happens with Wigan. Very, very consistent side. And when everybody just does them down, that's the time when they strike, isn't it?
We've heard from the champions. Let's hear from last year's bridesmaids. Runners-up in the Challenge Cup. Runners-up in the Super League Grand Final. Although they did win the wheelchair.
Yeah. Don't rub it in. Don't rub it in.
I'm sorry, Warrington fans, but let's hear from Tony Smith, who says he's quite excited by the start of the new season.
It's always exciting to start a new season. There's plenty of challenges, and I think there's plenty of improved teams, and you know, hopefully we're one of those as well. We feel like we've recruited well and added to some of the talent that we already had there. So yeah, it is. It is going to be a challenging one. It's always challenging coming into a new year and the format of the competition. So, yeah, we're excited about it.
Mentioned some of the new guys that are coming, like some Mike Cooper, Matty Bligh making the return as well. Like an old boys reunion, isn't it? But how them guys fitted in?
Yeah, they've been good. Very good. You know, it's great to have them back. And, you know, another local boy is in our recruitment in Andre Savelio as well. He grew up in Warrington, so yeah, three of our new recruits are all homegrown boys, which is a nice extra little look at things. But they've all settled in really well. We're really delighted with our recruitments and what they bring to us, both on and off the field. They're real quality people, and we've seen some benefits already.
I'll talk about Warrington's been the recruitment of Kevin Brown as well. How's he fitted in since moving from Widnes?
He's been great. Yeah, he's a lovely young man. He's a talented rugby league player. He's brought some real quality to us as well. So, you know, both on and off the field. So, yeah, he's a delight to work with, and look forward to, you know, the season as it unfolds and Kevin bedding into his new club. And I think he'll bring a whole lot to us. And you know, but he's already brought a whole lot to us off the field as well in terms of training and his application and his professionalism.
Kevin Brown swapping Widnes for Warrington. I'm sure he'll get an interesting reception when Warrington goes to the Halton Stadium.
Yeah, most definitely. But I also think as well, he's carried on that tradition, hasn't he, that he's had this last couple of years where just as it looked like he was set to make his debut, he had an injury, didn't he? So that ruled him out of Warrington's final pre-season warm-up game against Huddersfield. And I don't know. I just think he's getting older, isn't he? And it's the oldest pair of halfbacks, I think, in Super League.
Hey, listen, Kevin Brown's still involved in the England setup, by the way, so he's still a quality player.
Just don't go speaking to Alex Murphy about these halfbacks that Warrington have these days, because he says they're not a patch from the players in his day.
Not in my day.
Nope.
Don't mention the fact that Kevin Brown swapped Widnes for Warrington around Widnes, and it's still left a bit of a bad taste in the taste of the Widnes fans.
Yeah, there's lots of Widnes fans that have had to get the number six shirt redone, isn't there, because of what's happened there. It was really done quite late, I suppose, in that whole pre-season. But yeah, he's there for Warrington now. Let's hope that he can make an impression there.
We're going to talk about players who signed contracts and moved on without actually playing the game this season. We'll do that very shortly. But let's hear from Neil Jukes as Lee get ready to talk Super League and try and play Super League.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. You know, it's been a long time waiting for the club. Pre-season's obviously, you know, felt a bit of an age now, but certainly, you know, week on week, it's been getting closer, and this week now, obviously, makes it feel a bit more real and started speaking a bit more specific about, you know, the players we're coming up against. Really, you know, like I said, real big excitement around the place.
I remember chatting to you at this event last year in the Championship. How does this one compare in stepping up?
Yeah, is it?
How's the list?
Yeah, it's quite big. Yeah, as you can imagine, new boys, new kids on the block. But yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of anticipation and a lot of speculation about, you know, who's going to be in the bottom four and who's going to be up there this year. And we're kind of a bit of an unknown quantity, so I think everybody's got a bit of an interest in us in seeing where we're going to go. You know, we know what we can achieve and what we need to do should we need to achieve it. Be interested, obviously, from a neutral point of view, how they perceive us. You know, what their thoughts are, but yeah, we're happy with what we've done in pre-season. We're happy with the squad we've got. It's all obviously now about getting it right on the night.
I think you've got a real good mix actually this season.
Yeah, we have. We've got some players who was playing top four rugby for the club last year, so it's just another year for them in a different colour strip. We've got some players, you know, with Mickey and Gaz and now it's an answer to Corey Patterson, who's not done it for a couple of years because they was in there getting us to Super League. So I'm really, really looking forward to see them getting the teeth back into that level of rugby again. And we've got some real good young, hungry players, you know, Sam Hopkins and Jamie Acton, Liam Moore, and them guys who's really not had the opportunity to do it week in, week out. So, you know, they've killed the Championship for the last 6-7 years, and now they're ready for what that challenge is as well. So I'm really excited to see how they adapt to it.
And as well, you just celebrated your first year in the job. I don't see any grey hairs yet.
We just had them cut out, that's why. But yeah, there certainly is some going on. That is definite. But yeah, it's you know, it's been a good year. It's soon passed and soon gone by. But obviously, after round one, it was a bit of a nightmare for us. But it was a rude awakening. But after that, we kind of got our own house in order. And really, you know, really had a good year without a shadow of a doubt. And certainly when we get into the mates, real big pressure boiling pot there, but came up with the goods when it was needed, and brilliant for the club and for myself and for the players, everybody associated with the club. That what we achieved last year, you know, something that'll stick with me forever.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League, this is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Getting your head grey hairs cut out, I wonder if every coach does that before the start of the season.
For some, it didn't really bother him. I'm just thinking John Keir back in the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, Neil Jukes, he's always a delight to interview, to be honest. You know, he basically calls a spade, very straight-talking coach. And I do look at that Lee squad and think that it could be quite competitive.
Come a long way, haven't they? Got beat by Batley last year.
Yeah, yeah, and the week before that, it was Paul Rowley had resigned, and everybody thought, oh, Lee's never going to do anything or amount to much, but especially with what had happened in the previous season's eight.
Of course.
And they blitzed it, really, didn't they?
Hard to believe a few years ago, you were outside collecting with your tin to save your club.
Yeah, I was.
It's 2013, was it, if my memory's correct?
2011,
I think.
Unfortunately, there was a lot of things going on at the time.
Because it was the day when there was the international with the Four Nations.
It was, yes. It was England and Wales.
Yeah, you were outside with your tin to save our club.
And if you did put some money in one of my buckets, then I thank you very much. We raised quite a lot of money on the day, to be honest, which all went to help saving the club.
And Derek Beaumont went and put the icing on the cake.
He did when he came in 2013, exactly. With a brand new board.
Yes.
That was it, and it was the sky's the limit.
Oh, it used to fascinate me with Lee at the time. He used to have that big banner in the stand that no one used to sit in with. In Lee, we believe, but with the letters Lee in believe.
Yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he kept the belief.
I'm glad that you noticed. I'm glad that you noticed what they were trying to achieve at that particular point, Adrian.
Didn't get it at the time, but now we'll do.
Yeah, yeah. And eventually they did get up, didn't they? Okay, it's a couple of years later than they anticipated, but Super League rugby all the way now.
quite funny you mentioned John Kate. We're going to go and listen to Scott Grix from Wakefield. And they came through after him, having fought... they were going to be certain to get relegated, but they brought in Chris Chester and he just quickly turned them around and turned them into a near enough top 8 team.
Oh, he did a magnificent job, and he turned them into a top 8 team, didn't he? Because they qualified for the Super 8, didn't they?
Okay,
they didn't make much of an impression, but...
My memory's a bit boggled since the off-season.
Well, like you say, we're warming up as well, aren't we, mate? Yeah. So we can let all that off, and you're just giving me plenty of editing to do, so don't worry about it.
We're still work in motion.
I like that. We're still a work in motion, a work in progress.
Let's hear from Scott Grix, who's swapped Huddersfield for Wakefield.
Scott's a new signing at Wakefield, but it's a case of almost going back, isn't it?
Yeah, a little bit. Some things have changed drastically, some things have stayed the same, so not had to move clubs for a while. Nice to see some old faces and a bit of familiarity, so all good.
It would be fair to say that you endured a bit of a horror season last year, didn't you, with injury? Are you now fully over those?
Yes, definitely I did. A bit more of a nightmare due to the club having a bit of a stinker as well, so that hurt a little bit more, just not being able to contribute as much as I could have. In terms of injuries, never really had any, really, so I suppose you could say being lucky in that sense up to then, and after seeing some other people go through a lot worse, I'm tend not to try whinge about them, so yeah, all good, ready to go.
And what do you make of the squad that's been put together at Wakefield this season?
Yeah, I think obviously myself in that bracket, I think recruitment's been pretty good, sort of going on the back of how they finished last year and getting the lads in that we have. I think, you know, there's no reason why we can't progress on that, so you know, time will tell, I suppose. Everyone's saying the same things, aren't they? We're bigger, we're faster, we're stronger, all that stuff, so well, you can hear that. I might as well see how we go when we get going.
Keeping you up to date with everything Rugby League. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
The Feel Better Station for Warrington Hospital.
This is Radio General.
Now, the Final
Hooter. I know you're a bit miffed because we cut Scott Grix short. You were claiming that's the longest interview anyone's done with Scott Grix, which was just over 3.5 minutes.
It was.
The unedited bit.
It was, that, yeah.
Listen, we've got a time scale to keep to.
That's okay. That's okay. I'll let you off this time.
Always good to hear Scott Grix. And going back as well. They always say never go back.
And he has. He's gone back.
He has.
You wanted him back at Widnes, though, didn't you?
He was great for Widnes.
He did have a smashing season back in, was it 2007?
About that time. When Widnes won the old championship.
Yeah, he had a great season at Lee as well back in 2006. Yeah. Good player.
Great player. But anyway, he's at Wakefield, and Wakefield will be looking for just as well as a better season as they had last year.
Yeah, they'll be looking to probably develop. I mean, they kind of snuck into the top eight at Salford's experience, didn't they? And didn't really make that much of an impression, unfortunately, on the Super 8s. But, you know, 2017 is a different year with a different set of problems, a different set of circumstances.
Welcome to the Final Hooter on loverbilly.com and our friends at Radio General for allowing us to use this fantastic equipment. It still makes me sound like an amateur.
Yeah, we're still not sure half the time what we're pressing, but we do try our level best.
We do. Let's talk about, for me, what's the point of contracts quickly. Because let's face it, there's been in the off-season, lots of players have had contracts with clubs and then decided, you know what, I don't want to be here anymore.
I bet you've got a great big long list written down as well, haven't you?
Well, let's start away straight away. We already mentioned it, Kevin Brown. He signed a contract last year to stave off the interest of St Helens, then decided when Chris Sandal told Warrington he weren't coming back, Warrington went knocking on the door to Widnes, and Kevin Brown said, you know what, I'm going to Halliwell Jones Stadium.
So that's two for the price of one there, because you mentioned Sandow as well. Yeah,
Frank the Tank for one season was enough for him in the UK at Hull.
Yeah, but that's Hull. I mean, it's cold in Hull, isn't it?
Yeah. James Segriaro. Big signing that was meant to replace Zach Hardacre. Come to one season, you went, you know what, don't fancy life in Leeds.
Well, he went as a hooker, didn't he, and then had, what, half a season and ended up going. They actually signed him as, was it, Falloon, which had gone, and he sort of arrived under, a big fanfare. Did, yes. Played really well for him, to be honest, and
he
then
did.
Just told him at the end of the season, I'm not coming back.
Not coming back.
Okay.
Dennis Solomon on it. Oh, don't mention his word around Castleford, his name around Castleford, the lyncher. He just decided, never mind coming back, I've just retired from rugby league. Going to go to the dark side.
Yeah, I mean, that one, whilst I can see some you know, questions and something around the others, that's almost unforgivable what he did. He just turned around and said, right, that's it. I'm retiring from rugby league.
Well, sorry then. Here's what I'm going to say about him. If it doesn't work out in the dark side, or as our mate Johnny Vegas says, the dirty word of rugby, right? If it doesn't work out and he wants to come back to the rugby league, well, I'm sorry, you've retired. Not having you. Go away.
Oh, you're joking. You're telling me that you'd not back Denny Solomona?
Yes, he's retired, mate.
The man scored 40-odd tries last season.
He's a one-season wonder.
Give over. He's got superb try-scoring ability. I'd have him back in rugby league.
I don't think Castleford are welcoming back.
No, probably not Castleford, but if I was another rugby league club, I'd sell me stadium to go and get him back.
Different circumstances, Anthony Tupou at Wakefield. Should have been coming back, but decided, personal reasons, wanted to go back home. It's just time for Newcastle Knights.
Oh, right, OK. I mean, you say about this all regarding contracts.
What's the point of contracts?
A contract has to be there in this modern age. You can't work without a contract.
Why can't you just have it? If you don't play, you don't get paid.
That's old-fashioned. You're just a rugby league dinosaur.
You talk to Ray French, he'll tell you exactly how it should be.
Well, exactly. You're talking about Ray French.
Alex Murphy, you'd say the same thing.
God bless Ray French and Alex Murphy, by the way. Great people that are involved in our sport. But that's their time. Our time is now, and you have employment contracts. You wouldn't go to a job without a contract, would you?
No.
Exactly. But so I'm why not, should a rugby but, league player do
but
the
but
same?
But I'm not going to sign for 3 years and say, you know what, I actually don't fancy this. I'm not coming back.
Oh, I don't know. I've seen your records, mate.
What do you mean?
You've been around... with your jobs.
Been around where? Should we move along?
Yes, go on.
We could talk forever about this one. You're not going to agree with me, are you?
No, I'm not.
Bring back. If you don't play, you don't get paid.
Give over. Stick with contracts. It's only the way forward.
Hoping for a better season is Brian McDermott. Everyone thought he might have got the bullet at Leeds, but Leeds have kept the patience, haven't they?
They have, yeah. They've been patient a couple of times because there's been a couple of seasons in his 6 or 7 year stint there where they've threatened... not to do very well and everything to blow up. And
he's never been a fan's favourite at Leeds, has he?
He hasn't, and yet he's a really good coach. And you'll hear from this interview, a pretty witty man as well. He's got some big opinions on rugby league. Brian, tell us how pre-season's gone. You've been one of the more active clubs for a number of games pre-season that you've been playing.
Yeah, it's good. We've had a long one, a relatively long one. and we've got through a fair amount of work. I've just literally this morning come back from camp with the players that we had in North Yorkshire, which has been good. A few days spent out in the wild there, and we just capped off what's been a good pre-season. So we've played Hull KR, Featherstone and Doncaster as warm-up games just recently, and you know, we've got a lot out of them, so we're looking forward to the start now.
I know, speaking to a lot of teams, they're always looking to promote youngsters, and that's something that Leeds have been really, really keen on over the years. Are you happy with the levels that you're getting out of those kids at the moment?
Yeah, the players that come through are all committed, and you know, they want it as much now as they ever have done. There's a broader question about the gene pool that we choose from. You know, if you're asking me, are we happy with the juniors? No, I don't think the Giants, the athletic kids, the speedy kids, there's enough of them playing rugby league in the amateur game. But I mean, that's probably not the answer you're after. But the blokes that we've got are all committed to us and want to play for Leeds. And I think that's the other one, which is probably not one to an answer of either. But we've got to sign some kids that want to play for Leeds. They don't just want a contract, they don't want to be Super League players. We actually want them to play for Leeds because it's not an easy club to play for. It's not an easy club to operate in because it gets so many headlines when we lose. And you know, it's like most big clubs, there's some pressure involved in it. And in recent history, we've got some players who don't want to sign for us purely down to money. The blokes we've signed are committed to us, and it's great. It's great working with some young men who literally will pull up trees for each other.
And there's a lot of those young players that you brought in as well. I'm thinking Corey Aston, Armand Ride as well from Featherstone.
Yeah. And Corey Aston's, we've had an eye on him for since he was very young, and he's done it. Mark Aston, his dad, who's he's doing a fantastic job with him. He's a really smart player, manages the game really well, Corey, for a young man. And I'm sure when he's played a few more games with us and he's been given the opportunity to have a string of about 5-6 games together, and you know, we know him and the players know him, he'll show up even better. And Jack O'Moroyd's another player that we've been seeing at Featherstone for a while now, and he's got an interesting story because his dad's involved in soccer. He's he works for Bradford City, and he's come up through that route. And interestingly, you know, he's a fantastic athlete, and there's not that many athletes like him playing the amateur game, you know, as young kids, as 17, 18 year old lads. So it's good that he's decided to come to us.
And if I can also ask, Brian, you've probably been asked this question a million times already today, but
seven you, actually.
All right, okay. What are you hoping for Leeds this coming season?
Well, we want to win everything. That's the credible answer. That's my credible response. I don't think you'll look at me funny and say, "Oh my God, what goals is he setting?" Yeah, we want to win everything. We've got to find out whether we're in. We will find out whether we are in shape to challenge for everything to start with in the first few rounds. So sometimes when you go into a season, you don't really want to make public the fact that you want to win, because you know it's more important to us to make sure that we play well and all those type of things. And playing well is no less important right now. But I think it just brings a sharp focus to what we're about. And yeah, I don't mind saying we want to win everything, but I can't predict we will do, and I can't predict where we'll end up. So that's not the game I'm in. But my task is to make sure that we're prepared as best as we can be.
Don't condone betting, right?
Okay, go on.
But I wonder if he had a bit of a bet of under how many times they got asked that question that you asked him, because he was keeping count, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. He said seven. And I said, I wonder whether how many times have you been asked this question? And it was before I'd even asked it, where
exactly.
He said seven. So he probably anticipated what I was going to ask him before I did it.
You don't condone betting, sorry. Booking?
Booking?
What am I booking?
What are you booking? I don't know.
Yeah, we're going to book in a Richie Malle interview in a minute. Thankfully, he's lost the French accent. But Leeds, can they win anything this season? Because they're going to have a point to prove, aren't they?
They are going to have a point to prove, and everybody will write them off, and surely anything is better than what they served up last year. I mean, I guess it depends on how the likes of the young players that you mentioned in that interview, Corey Aston, goes, and maybe Jack Ormond-Ride, who's coming from Featherstone, and there's a couple of others that are just waiting beneath to sort of like get into that first team, and they've had a bit of a taste of it. Will they be better for their experience? That's the question.
Castlans had a great season, but then just fell away dramatically, didn't they?
Oh,
last year.
They were brilliant until about July, and then it all went wrong, didn't
it? Just went all pear-shaped for them.
Definitely, yeah. And it kind of coincided with the fact that Richie Myler, who we're going to hear from in a minute, he just didn't seem to be able to get it together, did he? After
that hit
period.
And miss, because he was injured a lot of the time, wasn't he?
And I actually asked him about how he settled in now.
He's lost the French accent. Let's hear from him.
Tell us how he's been going with Catalan's pre-season.
It's been going really well. I think we've had a few new recruits come in this year, and a bit of a turnover in personnel, but I think everyone's settled well, and combinations seem to be going well. So, no, we're looking forward to the start of the year.
And what about those new recruits? What did you know much about them before they arrived?
Yeah, I've played against a few of them, and obviously the quality we brought in was important, because we lost a fair bit of quality as well. So, no, the players we brought in were the right people. I think they were the right person for the group, and the right people to bring into a side. And no, we're excited for the year.
Bringing in Greg Bird as well. I mean, what's it going to be like playing alongside him?
Yeah, I think it shows a level of consistency whenever he played in the NRL, and he's a quality player. I mean, he's obviously a leader in our team now, and we'll be looking to use his skills. And like all the recruits we've brought in, it's a special place, Perpignan, and you have to be the right fit to come into to settle into thing. And I think the players they brought in have settled really well.
Do you feel well settled now?
I do this year. The first year was a bit, first few months took a bit of getting used to, obviously changing culture and stuff like that. But no, this year I feel really settled, and like I say, we're happy and we're enjoying our time in Perpignan.
Keeping you up to date with everything rugby league. This is the Final Hooter on Radio General.
Okay, he was true, doing his best to lose the French accent, but it was just creeping in towards the end, wasn't it?
It was.
He couldn't help himself.
Great to hear from Richie Mallet. Nice to hear that he's now fully settled over there in Perpignan.
Listen, man, if I was going to Perpignan to live, and you can sit on the beach all day with the sun on your back, I'd enjoy it.
Okay.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah. I mean, it's meant to be a nice place, isn't it? I've never been myself.
I've been to glorious little city.
Yeah, never been myself.
Castle on the top.
Okay. Are they going to do much better than last year? I guess we'll wait and see.
Another team that wants to do better than last year were Huddersfield. Rick Stone is the man who saved the Super League's lives by coming through the qualifying eights. He'll be looking for a better season, surely. Let's hear from him.
Rick, give us a flavour of how it's been like in pre-season for you boys.
Well, I think most pre-seasons have been a lot of hard work, you know, a lot of sweat and boys putting in the effort. You know, we've spent a little bit of time hopefully building a bit of resolve. That's something I think we needed after last year. We just leaked too many points last year, and I think we averaged 25 points a game last year in defence. So that's been our major focus, is building our defensive repertoire and structure and toughness and desire and attitude. And, you know, our physical conditioning, I suppose, program has been built around those principles.
You brought in a few guys from the Championship. Was that planned because they've got maybe some resolve there because they've been involved in a really tough physical competition?
Oh, well, look, by the time we had a chance to do some recruiting, there wasn't a lot left, to be honest. But I'm really happy. A couple of Aussies and a couple of boys from Bradford that we picked up, Shannon Wakeman, Jake Memo, Alex Miller and Adam O'Brien, are four blokes we probably brought in a little bit later in the recruitment sort of stage. So they're really happy. We're looking for boys that we think have got a bit of a future. All those boys have got a bit of a future. And we were patient enough not to take players for the sake of taking players. We wanted players to come in that we thought, you know, could sort of start to keep improving with us rather than being a stopgap sort of scenario, I suppose. So in the end, slept a bit easier by the time that all got done, and then we could get moving towards obviously building up towards the season. So since January, things run pretty smooth. Got a couple little niggles that most clubs have still got at this time, and it's a pretty important year for these boys coming out of the academy, and it basically takes 3 years of full-time training to build themselves up physically to be able to take the rigours of the professional game, which Super League is. So you've got to be patient with these young blokes, understand there's going to be mistakes, and understand they probably can't play big blocks of games consecutively because it takes it out of them. So yeah, we'll drip feed them in when we think it's appropriate.
Yeah, it sounded like me and you got a couple of niggles.
Couple
before
of niggles.
The season started.
Yeah, I'm just hoping that ours don't continue into the season, though. He made a really good point there about young players
taking
3 years to do so. So, yeah, good to hear from him.
Good to see young players getting the chance with Huddersfield, despite them having a bit of a dodgy season last year. It's going to be a bit strange, though, for Huddersfield. No Earl Crabtree running out with them this year.
No.
Big Earl's bit the dust as a player.
Time moves on.
It does.
Just as it is doing in this podcast.
It is. Time moves on as we talk with the Vikings now and catch up with Hep Cahill. Hep Cahill, another brand new season ahead. What's the mood like in the camp with the Vikings this year?
Oh, just excitement, eh? Very excited. A lot of young boys come up, so everyone's just pumped. Looking forward to next week.
Kick-off against Huddersfield, is that a good game to have at this stage in the season at home?
It's good to be playing at home, first game up, so that's a plus for us. But blowout, so we still don't know who the team's going to be, so the boys are still training up hard to make sure they're in that first lineup.
That suggests Dennis is keeping everyone on the toes and keeping you guessing.
Yeah, no, he keeps us working hard, but having all these young boys coming through, and they've all had a great off-season, so keeping all us old boys on our toes, making sure we're vying for our positions.
You mentioned some of the young guys, and who's in pressure?
Jay Chapelhouse really, really come through, and JJ, you know, those two boys, I think we'll be looking forward to the season. I think Jay could really cement his spot, not just as a young player, but as a regular first-team player.
How's the pre-season gone?
Yeah, it's been good. A bit frustrating for me. So I've been on the sidelines a lot watching the boys train hard. So itchy feet to get out there. And you know, I'm fit and healthy now, so I can't wait.
I'm sure he can't wait. But Widnes got injury problems ahead of that game against Huddersfield. Like everybody else has.
Like everybody else. And all the coaches have mentioned about niggles so far,
yes.
Haven't they? You know, so
it seems to be the buzzword, doesn't it? Niggles. Even we've been using it.
What do they do? What do they do in pre-season to get niggles?
Nibbles, maybe.
No, you're thinking Christmas time again.
I'm thinking
Christmas time.
I'm thinking
pies. You're thinking Twiglets and all that type of malarkey.
Witness everybody's tipped to be in the bottom four.
Yeah.
You reckon that's where they're going to be?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. You're just saying that because you know I'm a Widnes fan. How dare you? Right, Lee, you're relegated. You're not going to come back. Is that true?
Give over.
No.
I just think that they've got a lot of experience in that squad this year. So, yeah, I'm tipping Lee to survive.
Oh, you would say that because you're a leafer.
You did ask for me opinion there.
Well, we
you?
Don't want to hear it. All right, let's hear from Richard. Mind the gap, ladies and gents, as we play you, Richard Hall.
We've recruited well. We look like we've strengthened. We feel like we've strengthened from last year. So it's all just down to the start of the season. Hopefully, we're in that race and our performances and we're getting the job done.
You mentioned a little bit there. You maybe got under the radar. So did the success you had last year surprise you guys?
Not really with the squad that we had. We in-house, we was really confident in where we wanted to be, as we are this year. We don't want last year, like I say, to be a one-off. We want to kick on now and sustain sort of that top four and challenging for trophies, really.
You got your hands on the Challenge Cup, so you must have been disappointed how things went after Wembley, I suppose.
Yeah, it sort of was. We sort of like dropped off a little bit, and at that time of the year, you just can't afford to do it. You need to be kicking on. It's the first time. Again, I think the emotions of everything of winning at Wembley sort of took it out of everybody, staff included, players, staff, fans. It sort of was a big monkey off our back, and great to do it. And I reckon we do. Well, I know we do things different this time round.
How is the team in 2017 looking then?
Yeah, very strong. Like I said, I think we've recruited in areas that we needed to recruit. We've got a natural half in Albert Kelly, so he's looked really sharp and really good in training. Obviously, in the centres as well, strike, we've got Josh Griffin, who's again, really, really big, strong, powerful and skillful as well. So hopefully he'll be putting our winger away a few times.
I'm sure he will be, but Albert Kelly, brave to swap Hull Kingston Rovers for Hull FC.
It's like the Great Divide, isn't it?
It is.
It is. And, it's like if you move from St Helens to Wigan or Wigan to St Helens.
Well, you can't do Leeds to Bradford anymore, but yeah.
Yeah, it's like that type of thing, isn't it? So interesting to see how he'll be accepted.
It's always difficult to win the Challenge Cup and back it up, as Hull found out last year.
Very much so, very much so. Right, our final interview of the evening and of the show comes
from...
It's
been a marathon this hour, hasn't it?
It has, but it comes from Ian Watson at Salford.
Really well, to be fair. We've had a couple of injuries, which has been like the negative side of it, but as a whole we're really pleased with where we are at the moment and we're looking forward to the first game.
And imagining your stress levels are a bit lower than they were late last season.
Yeah, you can say that. Like, even say when you're at the game and you're kind of focused on the game, so you don't kind of feel the stresses and stuff like that. It's only afterwards when you kind of look back and think, oh, could have been a tough time that there. But always confident in the group that we've got, to be fair, to be able to pull things out of the bag there. We've got a real good resilience amongst us as a team. We're well led on the field, so really confident in the group that we have.
Do you feel that's that experience has grown your squad?
Yeah, I think massively. It'll serve us as good motivation going forward. The players that have involved in there as well, and I've learnt a lot throughout the season and learnt a lot in that middle eights period as well, to be fair. So hopefully that bodes as well going forward into the Super League season.
I mean, to be fair as well, the margins were so so short that, but for the points deduction, it would have been a top 8 spot.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, and a lot of people forget that, and it doesn't bother us that they've forgot that as well, because hopefully a few teams may underestimate us there. We know what we're about, we know where we want to be, and we know what we can do as well as a group, and we're really positive going forward that this can be a good year for us.
A couple of new signings that you brought in, just summarise, you know, a little bit about them.
Yeah, Lee Mossop came in from Wigan, so a good one for the first game. He's been brilliant, coming as a real leader. He's been in an environment where he's used to winning, used to challenging for trophies. He's been over to the NRL and seen how things work over there, and he's come into our group and give us a real good leadership and an extra experience is what we needed. Lama Taza, another guy who's been to St Helens, who used to winning. He's been at Salford before, so he knows the group, he knows little bits about how we play. So he was a big one bringing in, because we felt we lacked in the middle last year. So along with Lee as well, he'll really reinforce us there, and he's a great bloke to have around the place, and he's a great player as well. And then on the other side of things, we've got Todd Carney coming in from Australia, who's going to add to our depth. The one thing we wanted was what a competition for places. He adds to that, and he's going to make sure that people are on the toes, because Michael Dobson, Rob Lewis, Gaz O'Brien, we've got a really good spine of players there. Todd will come in and compete against all of them for a place, so we can't pick all of them, unfortunately. So it's going to be who's going to be performing the best on the day.
I have to admit, with Todd Carney, he's probably one of the players that I'm really looking forward to seeing this next season, because I don't feel that we saw the best of him at Catalan.
Yeah, no, the big thing for me and the stuff we spoke about to Todd is about making sure we get him fit and get him ready to play. He's doing work over there now, which we've set him, so hopefully we'll know kind of where he's at by the time he gets over here. Once he gets over here, we'll get extra work into him to get him up and running, so that it's the best Todd Carney that we can see.
You also had a late signing from Bradford in Wellham. How's he settled in?
Young Chris Wellham's doing really well for us. He's 28, and in our group he's settled in really well, to be fair. He's coming in and adding competition to places again. We've got a lot of people now who can challenge each other for certain positions, and we've got a little bit of utility value out of certain people as well. So him coming in along with the Chris Bryan in and Daniel Murray has added to that, and has lifted the quality of our squad as well, and he's been a pleasing signing, to be fair, Chris.
Yeah. It's a lot of potential there, isn't it?
Yeah. Radio General. Radio General.